All right, so we're diving deep today into injection molding. Specifically, how to cut costs without sacrificing quality. Looks like you've given us quite the stack of resources here. Really trying to get a handle on this part of your business, huh?
Yeah, it's a tricky one for sure.
And get this, it's not just about finding the cheapest plastic out there. We're talking strategy.
You got it. We're gonna uncover some surprising stuff here.
Like what? Give us a sneak peek.
Well, think long-term supplier relationships and even material testing to find the sweet spot is a whole different way of looking at things.
So strategic sourcing, not just bargain hunting.
Exactly. One of your sources, a case study from Company X, they found that building a solid relationship with their plastic resin supplier, it actually allowed them to negotiate bulk discounts and even get early warnings about upcoming price hikes.
No kidding. Like insider info?
Pretty much. They ended up saving 15% on material costs annually.
Wow. 15% just from being buddy-buddy with your supplier.
You'd be surprised how much relationships matter in this business.
I bet. Okay, but what about using like modified or recycled plastics? There's all this hype about it being a cost-saving miracle, but is it really?
It can be, but you got to be smart about it. Another one of your sources, a report from Industry Association Y, really stresses the importance of testing, thorough testing. They actually highlighted a case where a company switched to a recycled plastic blend to cut costs. Sounds good in theory,
That
right?
makes sense.
But they didn't do enough testing, and get this, the final product was brittle, prone to cracking, ended up with a wave of returns, and guess what?
Costs them more in the long run.
Bingo. You got to make sure cheaper doesn't backfire on you later.
Ouch, yeah. Expensive lesson.
And the testing itself, it can actually lead to some cool discoveries.
Like what?
This study you've got from Research Institute Z, they found that by playing around with the blend of virgin and recycled materials and tweaking some processing parameter, they got the same strength and durability using 20% less material overall.
Now that's impressive, turning a potential problem into a profit booster. All right, let's move on to the heart of it all. Those injection molding machines. I mean, they have so many settings. Where do we even begin?
Right. It can seem overwhelming.
Do you need like an engineering degree to optimize those things?
You'd be surprised. It's about finding the sweet spot. Temperature, pressure, speed, it's all about balance.
Okay, but how do we find those magic settings?
Well, thankfully, you've got some resources here to guide us.
Oh, good.
One article, The Injection Molder's Handbook, it talks about how melt temperature actually affects wear and tear on the machine. Turns out, a slightly higher melt temperature can actually reduce wear on the screw and barrel.
Wait, so cranking up the heat a little can actually save money in the long run.
You got it. It's all about the long game.
That's counterintuitive, but brilliant.
Right. Small tweaks, big impact. And speaking of impact, your sources really emphasize the importance of a well-trained team. They're the ones who can really make or break your efficiency.
Makes sense. Experienced operators, they're worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely. They understand those machine settings like the back of their hand. They can spot problems before they become disasters.
Like a well-oiled machine, everyone working together smoothly.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, let's talk about the mold itself. It's the foundation of the whole process, right?
You got it. It's crucial.
You've got a white paper here from Mold Manufacturer A. They break down the cost savings of investing in a high-quality mold.
And it's pretty significant.
Yeah, they estimate that a durable mold, made from the right materials, crafted expertly, can reduce defects by up to 50%. And increase lifespan by as much as 30%.
A cheap mold might save you money up front, but it's like building a house on a shaky foundation.
You'll just end up paying more later.
Exactly.
No.
Repairs, replacements, lost production time, it all adds up.
But wait, there's more. We haven't even touched on logistics yet.
Oh yeah, that's a whole other world of potential savings.
Logistics? I'm intrigued. We'll have to dive into that after the break.
Sounds good. We've got a lot to uncover there.
All right, we'll be back in a flash to explore the ins and outs of logistics. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay, logistics. It's not exactly the most exciting part of injection molding, but you're saying it's a gold mine for cost savings.
Yeah, it's often overlooked, but huge potential there.
So where do we even begin?
Well, one of your articles talks about this company that cut their shipping costs by a whopping 20% just by switching from trucks to rail for their bulk resin deliveries.
Seriously, 20% just from changing how they ship stuff.
It's about choosing the right method for each shipment, not just the cheapest overall.
So rail for bulk, but maybe trucks for smaller, more urgent deliveries.
Exactly. And it gets even more granular than that. Another source talks about route optimization for those delivery trucks.
Like finding the shortest route, avoiding traffic.
More than that, think like minimizing mileage, fuel consumption, even wear and tear on the vehicles, like a super-powered GPS.
Makes sense. All those little inefficiencies, they add up. But what about inventory? That's a whole other beast.
True, but you've got some great resources here that break it down.
Oh, good.
Remember just-in-time inventory.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier.
Well, this guide from logistics consulting firm W gives a perfect real-world example. This company that makes electronic components, they implemented JIT and boom, reduced their warehouse space by 30% and cut inventory holding costs in half.
Wow, that's a huge win. But how does JIT even work in practice? Seems like it'd take a lot of coordination.
It does. You need good planning, clear communication with suppliers, and real-time visibility into your production needs.
So not a set-it-and-forget-it kind of thing.
Not quite. And remember that ABC classification we talked about?
Vaguely.
Well, that's key for making JIT work. You prioritize inventory based on value and how often you use it.
So the high-value, frequently-used stuff gets special treatment.
Exactly. Making sure it arrives just when you need it.
Like a perfectly timed delivery right when the production line needs it.
You got it. Speaking of timing and all this logistics talk, makes me think of GPS trackers and data analytics.
Are those actually helpful or just buzzwords?
No, they're the real deal. You've got this report from technology research firm V. Companies are using real-time data to make their logistics way more efficient.
Give me an example.
Imagine tracking your shipments in real time. You can see bottlenecks, predict delays before they even happen. It's like having a crystal ball for your supply chain.
So you can make adjustments on the fly, keep things running smoothly.
Exactly. And that translates to cost savings.
Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Talk about something that seems unrelated to logistics, but actually isn't. Product design.
Ah, good point. Design has a huge impact on manufacturing costs.
So smart design choices can actually lead to lower injection molding costs.
Absolutely. One of your sources, Design for Manufacturability. They say good design is like a well-oiled machine, every part working together smoothly.
Love that analogy.
Yeah.
Okay, but how do we turn that into actual design decisions, ones that save us money?
One big opportunity is simplifying your design. Fewer parts means a less complex mold, fewer manufacturing steps.
Less is more.
Sometimes, yes. It's like a recipe. The fewer ingredients, the easier and faster it is.
But what if you need multiple parts for the product to work?
Then it's about getting creative, consolidating parts, integrating functions. You've got a case study here from innovative product design firm, U. They redesigned a complex assembly, over 20 parts, into a single injection molded component. Cost savings, 40%.
Whoa. And I bet it's more durable, too.
Often the case, simpler designs tend to be more robust.
Okay, what about using standardized parts? Wouldn't that make the product look generic?
Not necessarily. It's about strategically choosing parts you can use across multiple products or product lines, like having a library of building blocks. You can mix and match them to create all sorts of unique things.
So you get both customization and efficiency.
Exactly. And of course, we can't forget about materials.
Back to the plastic again.
Always comes back to that, right?
Is it really just about choosing the cheapest option?
Nope. Remember, cheap doesn't always mean best value. If it compromises quality, you'll end up paying more in the long run. Repairs, replacements, unhappy customers, it adds up.
It's got to be a balance, cost effectiveness, and performance. But how do you know if a cheaper material will actually hold up?
Testing. There's a whole world of material testing out there.
Oh, right. Those labs that put materials through the wringer.
Exactly. This report from Materials Testing Lab T, they talk about simulating real-world conditions. Stress tests, temperature extremes, different environments.
Like a boot camp for plastic.
You got it. They make sure the material can handle the pressure.
This is incredible. We've uncovered so many ways to save money, from those tiny machine settings to rethinking the entire product design.
And we're not done yet.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole other section on energy efficiency and waste reduction.
Bring it on. I'm ready to dive even deeper into this cost-saving adventure.
All right. Let's get to it.
All right. So we've tackled materials, machines, even logistics. But I have a feeling there are still more hidden cost-saving gems out there.
Oh, absolutely. We've only just scratched the surface.
Like what? Give me a hint.
Well, let's talk about energy. Those injection molding machines, they can be real energy hogs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Energy costs are always a concern. So how do we make those machines more efficient? Do we need to, like, buy all new equipment?
New equipment can definitely be more efficient, but there are ways to improve your existing setup, too.
Okay, like what?
One of your sources, this article from Industry Magazine S, they talk about optimizing heating and cooling cycles just by making sure the barrel and mold are heated only to the necessary temperatures. Companies can reduce energy consumption by 10-15%.
Oh, so it's like not heating an empty oven, right?
Exactly. Why waste the energy if you don't need to?
Makes sense.
Another thing is preventative maintenance. This case study from manufacturing company R, they found that regularly cleaning and servicing their machines, it not only reduced energy consumption, but also extended the lifespan of the equipment.
So a well-maintained machine is a happy and efficient machine.
You got it. It's like taking your car in for regular tune-ups. Keeps things running smoothly, prevents bigger problems down the road.
Okay, so beyond the machines themselves.
Yeah.
Any other sneaky energy wasters we should be on the lookout for?
Compressed air. It's used all over the place in injection molding, but leaks in the system. Huge energy waster.
Really? A little leak can make that much of a difference?
Oh, yeah. This guide from energy efficiency organization Q, they recommend regular inspections, fixing leaks promptly. Even a small leak can cost you hundreds of dollars per year in energy.
Wow. So it's like finding hidden treasure. Catch those leaks before they drain our profits.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a bit. Talk about waste reduction.
Ah, waste, the enemy of efficiency.
You said it. You've got this report here from sustainability consulting firm P. They really dig into the importance of a good quality control program. Catching defects early, it can prevent a whole mountain of scrap later on.
It's like stopping a small problem before it becomes a big mess.
Precisely. Quality control, it's not just about making perfect parts. It's a key part of your cost-saving strategy.
Okay, so what else can we do to minimize waste?
Focus on material usage.
Meaning?
This article, Tips for Sustainable Injection Molding. They talk about using only the amount of material you absolutely need to create the part.
So no excess, just what's necessary.
Right. They give this great example of a company that redesigned their product, reduced the wall thickness slightly, didn't affect the functionality at all, but saved them a ton of plastic resin over time.
It's amazing how small changes can make a big difference. What about waste that's unavoidable, like sprues and runners?
Good question. You don't always have to just throw that stuff away.
Really? What can you do with it?
This guide from Plastics Recycling Association O talks about regrinding and reusing those plastic remnants. One company they highlighted, they invested in a grinder, started reusing up to 80% of their plastic waste.
Wow, 80%. That's incredible.
Right. Give those plastic scraps a second life instead of adding to the landfill.
Okay, so we're reusing materials, but is there anything else we can do to cut down on waste in the process?
Think about packaging. Boxes, bubble wrap, tape, it all adds up.
Yeah, true. Never really thought about that.
This article from Packaging Innovation Magazine N, they talk about reusable packaging solutions. One company switched to reusable totes, cut their packaging waste by 50%.
Wow, 50%, that's huge.
Turning a waste problem into a sustainability win-win.
All right, so we've covered energy efficiency, waste reduction. What's the last weapon in our cost-saving arsenal?
Automation.
Automation. I've heard a lot about that, but how does it apply to injection molding?
Well, this white paper from robotics company M, they highlight the benefits of automating part removal. Imagine a robotic arm gently removing those freshly molded parts.
So it's faster and reduces the risk of damaging those parts.
Exactly. Plus, it frees up your human operators to focus on other things.
Things that robots can't do.
Right. Things like quality control, process optimization, problem solving.
It's all about working smarter, not harder.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This has been an incredible journey. We've uncovered so many ways to save money on injection molding, from those tiny machine tweaks to rethinking the entire product design. And everything in between.
It's really about taking a holistic approach, constantly looking for ways to improve, trying new things.
You've given our listeners a lot to think about.
I hope so. Even small improvements can add up to big savings over time.
That's a great point to end on. Remember, everyone, the journey doesn't end here. Keep exploring, keep experimenting, and never stop diving deep into the world of knowledge and innovation. That's all for this deep dive into injection molding cost savings. Until next time, happy molding.